Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this opportunity, this freedom that we have to gather together to worship you. We pray now that you would meet with us. We pray that you would lift our hearts as we worship and praise you. Fill our cups to overflowing that we might leave this place to share your love and grace with others. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand as we sing, Sing the Wondrous Love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. Affirmation of faith this morning is the same one that we did last week to help you get familiar with it. It's entitled The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven,
remind us that we have a heavenly parent who loves us unconditionally. Remind us that we are your children. Remind us that we are all brothers and sisters.
Hallowed be your name.
May the way we live, the way we talk, the way we show love to our neighbor, give honor to your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Help us to allow your love and grace to flow through us, that others may experience your kingdom. May we seek to perfectly obey your will here, even as it is done in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
Teach us, Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. Remind us that because you are our shepherd, we have all we need.
Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors.
Do we really dare to pray this way? For forgive us as we forgive. Show us that it is only as we forgive others that you can then forgive us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
May we continually seek to live so close to you and your will that temptations will not have opportunity to take root in our minds and hearts.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. I don't know if it should have been in the announcements or in the joys and concerns. However, today's a special day for Dawn, isn't it? Happy birthday. And I believe Jean has a birthday in a couple of days. They seem to come around a lot more quickly than they used to. But anyway, congratulations to you all. And I also noticed that Ronnie and Dolores would have had an anniversary coming up in a week and a half, and we want to especially remember Dolores during this time. Other joys and concerns you'd like to share? Continue to pray for the people in Texas and Florida. I don't know if you've ever been in Florida in the summertime or not. Even with air conditioning everywhere, a lot of times it ain't the most comfortable place on earth. Now, some of those people down there still have several weeks to go before they have electricity. There are a lot of people that don't have access still to the services and the commodities that they need, so keep them in your prayers. Very difficult spot right now for many, many people. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, here we are. Almost through the summer season, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness, for the mild summer that we've had, for the opportunity to live in beautiful East Tennessee. But we pray that you would remind us that there are many people who have suffered greatly the ravages of nature in these past few weeks and months. May we not forget them. May we seek to find ways that we can reach out to them and lift them, help them through their times of trouble and trial. We pray today, Lord, that you be with all of those who are suffering the ravages of sin in the hearts of your children. We pray that you'd be with those who have been through terror attacks, wars, strife. God, comfort and strengthen them right now. Be with our troops around the globe as they seek to help keep the peace. Be with their families, Lord. Be with all of our leaders everywhere. It doesn't matter if we like them or not. It doesn't matter if we voted for them or not. We have the opportunity and obligation to lift them before you in prayer. We pray that you would touch their hearts right now. Remind our leaders here in the United States of America that we are one nation under God. remind them that the only way that we are going to continue to be a great nation is if we continue to trust in you. Be with those today who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We pray that you'd be with Mary Jo's family. Be with Mindy's family. Be with Ron's family. Be with all of those others, Lord, around us, here in Rockwood and Roan County and East Tennessee and all over the globe. We're finding it so difficult to say goodbye to loved ones. Comfort and strengthen their hearts. We pray that you'd be with those who are hospitalized and those who are facing procedures and surgeries and tests and therapy and everything else that goes with it. We pray that as a great physician, you would lift them up. Thank you, Lord, for caring for us. Remind us that you are always there. Remind us that we can cast all of our cares on you because you do care for us. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, for all of your many wonderful blessings to us, we give you thanks and praise. We pray now that you'd bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing, if you would please, as we sing Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. You may be seated. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there seems to be a theme going this morning about heaven. That's where we will be in just a few moments in the message. Our Father in heaven. I've heard down through the years, I've heard people say, well, don't get so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Well, that sounds good, but in 3/4 of a century, I don't think I've ever seen anyone who was too heavenly minded. On the other hand, I've seen a lot of people who were all wrapped up in the things of this world so much that I think they were kind of forgetting about what all God has prepared for us. This song talks about it. It talks about a man that had a dream about where we're all looking forward to being someday. I dreamed of a city called Glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, holy, the angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. And oh, the sights I did see. And then I said, I want to see Jesus, 'cause he's the one who died. I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, you are so holy. I clapped my hands and sang, Son of God. Yes, I sang glory to the Son of God. Listen to this now. Then as I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones all knew me well. They led me down the streets of heaven. All the sights, too many. Isaac and Jacob, like with Mark, Luke, and Timothy. Then I said, Timothy, I want to see Jesus, 'cause he's the one who died for me. I bowed on my knees and cried,
Today's scripture reading comes from the sixth chapter of Matthew, verses 9 through 14. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let me read another passage to you from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be with me where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Let's review a little bit where we were last week. We talked about the fact that the Lord's Prayer begins and ends with praise. To pray effectively, we must first praise. And before we can praise, we must have a right heart. Psalm 66, verse 18 said, "If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, my Lord would not have listened." Secondly, we talked about the fact that only disciples can really pray this prayer. Thirdly, we talked about the fact that me and my do not appear in the Lord's Prayer. This prayer comes from a heart that's committed to God and to others. We talked about the fact that the Lord's Prayer contains six petitions. The first three address who God is, our relationship with God, Father, our reverence to God, hallowed be thy name, our resolution to God, thy kingdom, thy will. We get so wrapped up in our own agendas and our own wishes and our own pride. These three petitions must come before we can move on in prayer. The second three petitions address who we are. We need God's provision, give us. We need God's pardon, forgive us. We need God's protection, lead us and deliver us. We talked about the fact that Oliver Wendell Holmes said that his religion was summed up in the first two words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. We talked about that word, our, talks about the interrelatedness of all of humankind. Those that you read about and see on the news, those who are in hospitals, those who are going through funerals, prisons, those in third world nations. The only way that we can really pray to God is when we have our arms wrapped around the world. We mentioned that someone had prayed, Lord, forgive us for looking at the world through dry eyes. If our human father was gone most of the time, we might feel that God is unavailable. If our earthly father was verbally or physically or sexually abusive, we will be fearful of God and unable to trust him. We will try to keep a safe distance from him. If our earthly father never spent time with us or affirmed us, we may feel of little worth, especially toward God. If our earthly father was judgmental and critical, guess what our image of God will be? We talked that many atheists and agnostics had a poor father image or poor father figures, if any. In the Old Testament, the term father is used only seven times, and that's a remote term used for father. The word father is a definition of who God is. And although that's an imperfect definition because of our concept of earthly fathers is imperfect, we need to remember that our Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus referred to God as Father 17 times in the Sermon on the Mount and 70 times in the Gospels. Now let's get into today's sermon. Our Father in heaven refers to God's holiness and power. When Jesus said our Father in heaven, he was saying our perfect Father. He was saying that it's a relationship of love and mercy. This is what Paul meant there in Romans chapter 8. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father. Dear ones, we are God's children. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For everything God gives to his son, Christ, is ours too. A teacher was talking to her children's class one Sunday morning in Sunday school. And she said, how many of you all would like to go to heaven? They all raised their hands except for little Derek. The teacher asked him, don't you want to go to heaven? And he said, I'm sorry, Mrs. Smith, but Mom told me to come right home after Sunday school. Oh, my. 77% of Americans claim to believe in heaven. And 76% of Americans believe their chances of getting there are either good or excellent. Not everybody is in agreement. Freud said that heaven is a fantasy rooted in our instinct for self-preservation. A Harvard professor commented, can you imagine anything more appallingly idiotic than the Christian idea of heaven? A number of years ago, there was an old frontier preacher who went by Uncle Bud Robinson. And one evening, he preached a sermon on hell. After the service, a man came up to him, got right in his face, and he said, Mr. Robinson, I'm here to tell you tonight that I don't believe in hell. Uncle Bud said, well, After you've been there a couple minutes, you'll change your mind. Oh, my. Do you realize that in the Bible, God's home is referred to as heaven some 550 times? There are several different terms used for heaven in the Bible. In Luke 19, heaven is called a country. That's where people live. 2 Peter 1, heaven is called a kingdom. A kingdom is where subjects of the king live. Hebrews 11, heaven is called a city. That's where citizens live. John 14, 2, it's called a home. That's where families live. We've all sung that song that says, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Heaven is a definite promise. Jesus gives us two things that we need to understand about heaven. First of all, heaven is a matter of faith. Everything Jesus said about heaven are words of confidence and words of comfort. He said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." The word for trouble means to be shaken or stirred up. It used to refer to rough waters on stormy seas. In chapter 13, Jesus said he was going and leaving them, and now they would face life and death without his physical presence. He knew there would be fear, so he gave them the antidote for fear, and that is faith. When the outlook is bad, try the uplook. Jesus said, "Beyond death and the grave, there's heaven." Jesus said to believe him. That tells us that heaven is a matter of faith. We can only see heaven through the eyes of faith. You remember that old song that says, "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar? For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there." Secondly, heaven is a matter of fact. When we talk about heaven, we're talking about a real place. Our faith is based on fact. We need to realize that there's a difference between faith and fact. How do we know that heaven is a fact? Because Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms." King James Version says there are many mansions. Take your pick. We'll talk about that some more in just a minute. Okay? Next, we need to realize that heaven is a delightful place. Jesus gives us reasons why heaven is so delightful and why we should want to go there. Why we should be making plans. Why we should have our own spiritual triptych ready to get us there. Why we should have it programmed into our spiritual GPS. There are three heavens mentioned in the Bible. First of all, there's the atmosphere that we have above us here. Then there's space that's beyond the atmosphere. Then there's the realm of God. And that's the heaven that we're talking about today. Now, heaven's a delightful place for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that it's a delightful place is because of many of the things we will not have there. Think with me. Things that will not be in heaven. No anger, no bills, no crime or calendars, no doctor appointments or death, no excess weight, no fatigue, no growing old or graves, no hunger, no homelessness or hurricanes, no IRS, no jails, no killing, no loneliness, no medications, no misunderstandings, no night, no operations, no pain, no politics, no questions, no rudeness, no separation or sorrow or sin, no tears or taxes or wars. In case you didn't catch it, I was kind of going through the alphabet there, okay? Sometime when you're kind of feeling down, why don't you make up your own list? Things that ain't going to be in heaven. See how many you can come up with, and how many of those things that are dragging you down are things you're going to leave behind. We could go on all day long listing things that will not be in heaven. Now, some of the things that will be there, five positive aspects of heaven. There'll be satisfaction and peace. There'll be abundant life. body, mind, and spirit, you aren't going to have those aches and pains in heaven. People who have lost limbs here, people who have non-functioning body parts here, that's all gone when you get to heaven. Everything's going to be perfect there. You ever had a problem with your memory? Heard about a preacher one time, he was talking to a group of senior citizens, and he said, you know, folks, at your age, you need to think more about the hereafter. One man raised his hand and said, preacher, I think about it all the time. He said, well, I'll go down in the basement or out the garage, and I'll get to looking around and say, what am I here after? Now, some of you are laughing because you've been there. I have, and it seems like I get there more and more often, okay? But in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, then we will know perfectly, okay? You'll leave that mental lapse behind. Abundant life in body, mind, and spirit. It says there will be absolute justice and fairness in heaven, fellowship with God and all the saints, final victory with Christ. Jim Hill wrote a song that talks about that. You know the song. It's that song that says, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that'll be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Also, we need to realize that heaven is a specific place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. The Greek word for place is the word topos, from which we get the word topography, which means the study of places. Heaven is not a state of mind, it's a real place. Over and over, we are reminded of that in the scripture. John 6 says, Jesus came down from heaven. Matthew 6, Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven. Luke 24, Jesus was carried up to heaven. 2 Chronicles 7:14, when we pray, God will hear from heaven. Dwight L. Moody said, my heaven is a solid heaven. After the resurrection, we will have resurrected feet to walk, resurrected eyes to see, resurrected voices to celebrate, and a resurrected heart with which to love. Then he said, I have no patience with a transcendental, gelatinous, gaseous heaven. Heaven is a real place populated with real people, filled with the real presence of Jesus. Now, get to thinking about heaven, and in this limited world that we live in with our limited minds, we get to wondering, well, how in the world could all of that be in heaven? It's been estimated that since the beginning of humankind on the earth, that there have been some 32 billion people here. Now imagine if only half of those people went to heaven. That would mean that there'd be somewhere around 16 billion people in heaven. You get to thinking about that and you think, man, that'd be worse than going to Disney World between Christmas and New Year's. Have you ever done that? Don't. Okay? It's a great place. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Go whenever you can. But you probably don't want to go that one week between Christmas and New Year's. First time I ever went there, my parents lived about 40 miles from Disney World, and they took us over there. The ride, It's a Small World, we stood in line for that ride for 45 minutes. And all the time you're standing there, they're piping in that song. Bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. For 6 months. I couldn't get it out of my head, okay? So we say, man, heaven, if 16 billion people in heaven, that would really be crowded. Let's talk about that for a minute. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. But let me tell you today that heaven cannot be overbooked. Reservations are required, but space is unlimited. In Revelation 21:16, it tells us about the New Jerusalem, the capital city of heaven. Now, it says this city, now this is in Revelation 21, you can read it when you get home. The city is 1,400 miles wide by 1,400 miles long. Now, that's a little bit bigger than Rockwood, Tennessee. Actually, it would extend from Canada to Key West and from New York to Iowa, okay? 1,400 by 1,400. But then it also tells us that it's 1,400 miles high. Now, the former Sears building, now the Willis Tower in Chicago, has 108 stories and it's about 1,450 feet high. According to what we're told in Revelation about the New Jerusalem, if each story were 15 feet high, that city would have some 493,000 floors. Each floor would have almost 2 million square miles of area. That means the city of the New Jerusalem would have close to 1 trillion square miles of space. That would mean that half the people that have lived on earth, if only half of them went to heaven, that each one of them would have about 62.5 square miles of space. They could be all to themselves if that's what they wanted. That's about 40,000 acres per person. Now that's just in the capital city of heaven. That doesn't even include the suburbs or getting out in the country. So don't worry about there being enough space there. Okay? There's plenty of room in heaven for everybody. To bring it closer to home, that available space in New Jerusalem, it would be like Roane County, the entire Roane County area, having a total population of 6. Now, if it were just you and 5 other people in Roane County, that might give you enough room to stretch out, okay? There's room at the cross for you, and there's room in heaven for you. Now, we also need to realize that heaven is a special place. It has been well said that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. The master carpenter is still building. On earth, he's building his church. In heaven, he's building a home for his church. Little boy was out walking one night with his grandfather. It was a clear night. A crescent moon was shining over near the horizon. Millions of stars were twinkling. Seemed like the sky was full of diamonds that night. The boy stopped and stared. He said, "Grandpa, if heaven is this beautiful on the outside, imagine what it looks like on the inside." I like that. Heaven is the most beautiful and marvelous place that the wisdom of God could conceive and that the power of God could prepare. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it's quoting Isaiah 64:4, when it says that our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, and it hasn't entered into our hearts the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Also, we need to realize that heaven is a spiritual place. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, you may also be there." Jesus went back to heaven on a round-trip ticket. The one who went to prepare for us is coming back for us. Now, we need to realize that Jesus is not where heaven is. Heaven is where Jesus is. If we take away the pearly gates and the golden streets and the angels and the mansions and everything else, if we've still got Jesus, we've still got heaven. But if we take away Jesus, we don't have anything. How many of you have read William Paul Young's number one New York Times bestseller, The Shack? Anybody here read it? A few of us have read it. Some of us have read it three times. Any of you seen the movie? Okay. Yes. Okay. It's interesting in that book. He talks about the fact that heaven, at least one part of it, could be here on the earth after the Lord sets everything straight. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I've lived in East Tennessee for 24 years, and that's probably about as close to heaven on earth as you can get. I've seen Niagara Falls, and I've seen a lot of the beautiful sights in this wonderful country that we live in. Imagine if God made everything the way it was supposed to be in the first place, before humankind got a hold of it. You know, we've kind of messed this world up, haven't we? Imagine if God put it all back the way it should be. I wouldn't have a problem living here for all eternity. I mean, he'd get rid of all the mosquitoes, and get rid of all the politicians, and get rid of all the taxes, and all those kind of things. It'd be, yeah, I could understand that. But William Young talks about that in his book there. It says, whether heaven's out there or here on a new earth, really doesn't matter. It says, our light in heaven will be the face of Jesus. Our joy in heaven will be the presence of Jesus. Our melody in heaven will be the name of Jesus. Our harmony in heaven will be the praise of Jesus. Our employment in heaven will be serving Jesus. Our time in heaven will be eternity with Jesus. Our completeness in heaven will be Jesus himself. Finally, number three, Jesus will welcome us into heaven. Thomas said, we haven't any idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus responded, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To get into another country, we have to have a passport. We need to realize that Jesus Christ is our passport from earth to heaven. Religion won't get us into heaven. Righteousness won't get us in. Reason is not the way to heaven. Ritual is not the way to heaven. Resolve is not the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the truth that teaches about heaven. Jesus is the life that transforms us for heaven. Here we wander and search. Jesus is the way. Here life is filled with questions and doubts. Jesus is the truth. Here we face sickness and death. Jesus is the life. Before we can get into heaven, heaven has to get into us. During the one final story here, during the Civil War, a doctor was out on the battlefield. The battlefield was strewn with the bodies of those who had fought. Some were dead, some were dying, some were gravely injured. The doctor was doing what he could. He would cover those who had died, and he would try to help those who were injured. And he was at the point of exhaustion. Then he heard a voice calling, here I am, here I am. And he searched around and saw a young man fatally wounded over to the side. And he heard him again say, here I am. He went over and he said, okay, I'm here, son. I'll do whatever I can to help you. The soldier opened his eyes and he said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I wasn't talking to you. He said, I heard the roll call from heaven and they called my name. And I wanted them to know that I was here and I was ready. How about you? We sing that song that says, when he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Are you ready? Little boy said he had to go home right after Sunday school. He didn't want to go to heaven because mama said no, but are you ready to go? I hope so. Because folks, all the disappointments and heartaches you've had here are soon going to be over. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Heavenly Father, we thank you now that we can look forward to the time when all of this will be over and all of eternity will be able to enjoy the blessings of heaven. Remind us every time we pray, our Father in heaven, that a place is being prepared for us. And may we live like we're looking forward to going there. In Jesus' name, amen. You know the final hymn, it says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Okay, let's stand together as we sing. May you allow that amazing grace to fill your heart to overflowing, that you might taste a little bit of heaven here, that you might be a reflection of heaven here to others, so they'll know that they have heaven to look forward to forever and ever and ever. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.